Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. And it's time for What to Look For versus the Commanders, our preview of the last preseason game. Joining me, as always, for these preview shows is co-host Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Was a little under weather last week, so glad to be back on. Had a really good Cowboys game, was at the game. Nice experience. Really put BTA last week. So looking to see how we can finish up strong on week 3 against the Commanders.
Yeah, this is definitely a rivalry game for the Commanders, probably more than it is for the Ravens. The Commanders have just played a game more recently, so I'm hoping they're very interested in getting this preseason game over with. The fact that they played on Sunday and the Ravens played on Saturday meant that the Ravens and Commanders couldn't agree on parameters of their practice and didn't end up making it happen, which loss of some live fire for young guys, but I think generally speaking, a very good thing. I was scared to death of what might happen injury-wise in that joint practice.
Yeah, completely agree, especially with the news coming out last week about Lamar, or yesterday about Lamar, not really good. So actually really good timing for us to not have that joint practice with the Commanders.
We're in the same place on that. Not expecting much play from the starters in this game. John Harbaugh has said as much. He'll said it'll be handled similarly to the second preseason game. There may be some additional folks who are inactive for this game, but I really expect it to be a trimmed down amount of play by the starters, even at the rotational positions like the defensive line.
Yeah, I think we'll see a handful, like Keaton Mitchell, be inactive. I don't want to throw JAD's name in there because maybe they have to keep him under wraps because he's been playing well and they don't have enough depth at that last half of the corner room. So I think they might have him inactive. But I expect to see a lot of the young guys get a lot of the action mid-second quarter on. I don't expect to see like guys like Falele or Voorhees in there long either.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. I hope Falele does not play in this game, but we'll see. They may decide two drives, whatever. For Voorhees, I can't imagine they really want that. I really do not want it for Rosengarten. Rosengarten is we got a paper thin offensive tackle group as it starts. But you know, in terms of how this game should play out, I think people should be expecting a very tight to the vest, lots of running. Get prepared for some 1960s football again in terms of just watching a lot of you know, power football probably. They won't get exotic with the backups, so we won't see a lot of different packages on the field. So, for example, on defense, all they've shown so far is a standard nickel and a base package. They haven't shown any other package. And believe me, the Ravens have played probably 18 to 20 packages differently last year. Mm-hmm. And I have the exact number. It's actually fairly large. It might be larger than that. But even under normal, like not just short yardage situations or whatever, I mean, they have a larger group of packages to draw from, obviously, than standard nickel and base.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, we don't need to, because regardless, we're making plays in base and nickel as well. I mean, we've had corner blitzes, multiple get home. We're dialing it up regardless of what the formation is. So it's good to see that the players are out there firing, especially these young guys. I mean, they're impressive on defense.
Does the fact that they've been so successful in nickel on third down lead you in the direction that they're probably not going to go to a dime defense to start the season? They'll keep a weak side linebacker on the field. And whether it's Buchanan or Simpson on that down to try and
or even Higgins,
could be Higgins to try and defend the pass that way.
Yeah.
And also rush the passer that way, as opposed to putting in a dime back.
I believe that. Maybe it could be skewed because all offenses are also being vanilla as well. So the schemes might not be fitting for nickel. We could see that. I think they like the dime, especially if they can establish that third safety. I think that's probably what they'd be more comfortable with on third down, especially third and long. But I do agree with you. We should start out with that with the season, see where Trenton Simpson is with his game speed. If he's able to catch up and really be on par where we need him to be, then nickel makes sense. If not, then we gotta pivot real fast.
We had Orr at the podium, not this last week, but the previous week. He alluded to a new usage for Kyle Hamilton without saying what it was. Mm. You know, kind of thing. I think the question might have been to a response to you know, the vanilla looks that we've seen so far. And that was interesting to me. And normally that sort of information wouldn't be given out, and he didn't give out anything. So it's not like, you know, there's anything to draw from it really. But I wonder if that might be him thinking, boy, they're really going to be surprised by Kyle Hamilton as the dime back when the season starts.
Right. And I really think that is the case, because he's dangerous. I mean, he's big, lengthy, and rangy. He run fits well, just like a linebacker. So, I mean, I think we all want to see that. If he's not on the back end making plays, mm-hmm. we do want to see him in the box just wreaking havoc.
Yep. No, I'm with you there, and I think that may be the way they go. I don't know if they really have the trust yet in the inside linebackers, despite how well they played in the preseason.
Yep.
There's still a few things to be determined in this preseason. Order of entry has a big portent that it carries. Last week, the big one was Reuben Lowry played ahead of Bo Braid, even though the two of them played the exact same positions, a mix of slot corner and safety. Both of them exact same. They switched off series at that slot corner position, but Lowry was in the game first. Obviously, Lowry had the interception. And to me, he's very clearly the fourth corner. And he could even be the first corner that the Ravens would have up if they had a problem with one of the starting two, or if they need to establish a second half-field player. Kane, I think, probably has the lead right now, but it wouldn't shock me if we see Lowry in that role later this season.
Yeah, he was very impressive last week. Seeing it live, he did pop off, and it was nice to see him get that interception deep. I like where we're at with the young talent. Do you see us maybe bringing in one more veteran potentially off the street?
Well, the place it would be, I don't think would be at any of the positions that well, okay, maybe it's a position. It's not. I don't think it's going to be a guard. I actually really like the Ravens' guard depth right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to be a corner because the Ravens are already quite old there. And I don't think they can really afford to have another older player. But the place where they might bring in another vet would be outside linebacker. If they're not really bought into Ajabo, who is now forced his way in via the Isaac injury as the fifth outside linebacker, then I think they could discuss bringing in Jadeveon Clowney, say. He might actually be less expensive than Ajabo this year. Ajabo has like a $2 million hit, and some of it is recoverable. So if you get Clowney at the vet minimum, there'd probably be incentives attached. But if you weren't to reach incentives, he'd be less expensive than Ajabo.
So do you feel more confident about the guard depth because you're maybe counting Dalcourt as maybe a swing guard if he's not center?
I'm not counting him. He's a top of the practice squad guy. The five I'm counting are Dellinger, who I hope is a guard center, but he played 64 snaps this last week. Cleveland, Voorhees, Fa'alele, and help me out here.
Jones?
No, I'm not counting Jones yet. Hold on, let me make sure I've got. Oh, it's Bullock. Bullock.
Oh, Corey Bullock.
Who's played, you know, very well at center, and I think he could be used at guard as well. So okay. I really like their interior line depth now. They got six guys for three spots, and basically I wouldn't be upset if any of the three of them end up out there on the field. Any of the six of them end up out there on the field. All right. I got my roster up now in front of me, so I don't have that happen again. Let's keep going. I think one of the other questions is whether or not they'll keep six or seven cornerbacks on this team. Now, if you didn't hear it already, and I'm sure there's some people in the range of my voice who have not heard this, TJ Tampa had two interceptions at practice yesterday, which is something he really needed.
Yeah.
Was not having a great preseason so far, despite playing a lot of snaps.
Yeah, the volume is there with TJ Tampa. It seems to be the typical problem with the corners we have, just not being able to turn around and find the ball. It's tough because he did lose a year last year with the injury. So, I mean, this is technically his first year of real full action. So he's definitely still getting assimilated to the game speed. I think it's going to take some time, but for right now, we need him in this cornerback room.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the problem is, and this is something he just can't fix if it's true, is the problem seems to be speed. He's chasing Eichel to try and catch up. He's had those three no-look PDs so far in this preseason. It, you know, each one of them is a ball that bounced off some part of his body when he's not looking at it.
Yep.
And you know, that's not what you want. It's not, they're not worth a full PD. They might be worth 20% of a PD or something, but it's tight coverage on those plays, but you got to actually present some turnover risk to the opposing quarterback or they won't take you seriously. They'll throw at you like crazy.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they've done with Tampa. They've gone after him all preseason.
Yeah. And it's, that's kind of how it was. Well, not really. Nate Wiggins last year was dropping the interceptions, obviously, but he was getting in the positions to make plays. He had the interception against Cleveland with the pick six. So going into this season, they're going to try him, but they're going to be hesitant. The only person I think they're going to try is Ouzie. Honestly, he's probably going to be the odd man that's going to be tested early this year. So I wonder what they're going to do if Ouzie really does get tested and maybe fails a couple times, who would they put in? Maybe JAD?
Yeah, I think JAD is okay. First of all, a couple things about JAD. First of all, he's on the roster. He earned it with that first week. And then the last week, he only played three snaps. And I thought this is just some veteran, not a veteran, what do I want to call? They put him in bubble wrap. They're getting him ready for the regular season. Turned out he was sick. And that was the reason why he didn't see more snaps.
Okay, that makes sense. Because when I was at the game, I had like field seats and he was like kneeling over and visibly just not in the mode. So I was trying to figure out why he wasn't looking amped up like he should be ready for a game. So
didn't look like he was hurt. It looked more like IBS or what might have been the issue with the
he was squatting down, really just looking down, kind of not in the mode. I mean, this is right after the national anthem, everyone's amped up and he's just over there to himself in the corner, trainers there. I mean, it wasn't
I was confused. I was wondering if some announcement was going to come out about it. So
okay. So well, they did announce something. So that's good to hear. That's you always want the transitory reason why something might.
Yeah, he wasn't limping or anything, so it didn't seem like it was an injury.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, anyway, he and Tampa have the 5 and 6 spots locked up now. So the question is whether the Ravens are going to keep 11 total defensive backs, which they might do, in which case they've got to make a decision between if it's a fifth safety, say Bo Braid might be the guy right now, or it's a seventh corner, in which case it could be Keon Martin, who's had a big preseason.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Really trying to figure out what the priority is. I think... I don't know. That's a tough one. Keon Martin did come on strong. I think Bo Braid hasn't really shown the same juice he did last year. Maybe it is because of opportunity compared relative to what it was last year, unless you think differently.
He's a very important special teams player, and he's always struck me as a dime back and not really a backfield, half field guy. He's last year and again this year and really again in camp, I just haven't seen the kind of instincts on the back end, the quick move to shut down a play, particularly when he's in a half field role. Mm. Okay. Let's talk about this I know you know this, Frazier, but I'm just going to kind of lay this out here for people who are listening. When you're a single high safety, you basically are in control of maybe 40% of the field, maybe 50%, but it's effectively between the numbers is your range. So if the play is outside the numbers, I'm not saying it never happens, but it's very unusual that you can get over to make a play on the football if you're straight up single high in the middle of the field.
Unless you're Ed Reed.
Yeah, Ed Reed, you deke the quarterback, you go get the ball, and you know exactly where it's going ahead of time. But when they're in a half field, you know, we'll call it Tampa 2 or any kind of too high shell coverage they're running there, then each of those safeties is really expected to impact the entirety of his half of the field. Now, there are hole shots, you know, you've heard that term probably used before, which are areas where the defense is weakest. But I'm really talking about any kind of long ball. That safety has to get back over there. And if you think about Dan Dierdorf, I think it's the one who said deep outside is deep outside, Raheem Moore. Kind of. Yeah. You can't not be able to get back to that corner and help out back to that corner of the field and help that cornerback on that route. So I think we've seen more from Lowry and less from Braid in terms of the ability to read the quarterback in those situations. And that includes that what, you know, Rod Woodson waved off as an easy interception by Lowry on the, throw out in the middle.
Yeah, interception is interception regardless. So he made the play. I mean, we've seen the ball hit hands last year and get completely dropped. I mean, Kyle Hamilton, the best DB on our team, dropped the interception. So he made the play. I think it's good regardless of what format it was in. So I think Keon Martin is a strong candidate to be the 11th DB over Braid. It really just depends on how comfortable they are with the safety room they have.
I think it'll also be a question of special teams. They lost a lot of special team snaps. Braid is a guy they know they can count on for special teams. And if they replace him, I almost think the optimal replacement is the other Martin or Higgins as an inside linebacker because you get a big that way. Yep. And they're kind of short bigs, particularly with Likely out. It's not like Likely is playing a lot of special teams or anything, but Likely is a guy who can play big on a punt block or punt team because those guys closer to the line of scrimmage need to be able to tackle. They need to be able to play decent defense. And it really helps have linebackers on the field in that situation if you can. Just preventing dive plays and having the line of scrimmage be big enough is something that's hard for some teams to get done. So it's important to have the bigger special teams players when you can.
Agreed.
All right. So now another possibility is John Harbaugh has already said that Rasheen Ali is going to be the fourth running back on the team, and that's their plan was to go with four running backs. And I think part of that is special teams related. I really question a lot of things about Ali's playing time, Ali's value as a pure return player, because that's all he'd be doing is returning kicks and maybe covering kickoffs too. But it wouldn't be much. I mean, just there's not a lot you can ask Rushing Ali to do on special teams because he's not the ideal size for it. Probably other than to
return
kickoffs.
Yeah. Right. I think, well, he's the, they want to keep him because he's shown a lot of juice this year. I know last year we kind of were questioning why they picked Rushing Ali, but he's really came out strong during camp and also during the preseason. I think that's probably why they want to keep him. They know that he's probably a good, valuable back if something were to happen to Justice or Keaton Mitchell or even Derek, really, then the lineup would have to just shift up and then you put him in the third back. So
where he probably still gets almost no carries because, I mean, they went 12 weeks last year, I think it was, before they had the third running back even get one carry.
No, and I believe it. It's just having that insurance that's in-house that already knows the playbook, they know what's going on. So I think that's why they like Rushing Ali rather than going on the street if they needed to and get an old running back.
Well, with the new kickoff return rule this year, I think the Ravens are trying to figure out, is there additional demand league-wide for running backs? Because if there is, then they need to maybe figure out how to protect Ali. They kind of have the luxury of doing it if they're going to put likely on IRs to start the year. I believe that, by the way, that's coming. I don't believe for a second they're going to rush hold him on the active. No. Yeah.
Yeah. They can't rush him back for the first 4 weeks at all. We need to make sure he's good for the rest of the season.
I mean, I don't know that likely he's not going to be out for 8 weeks. Okay. I mean, I really don't know that right now. I mean, he broke a bone in his foot. That sounds pretty freaking serious to me.
Yeah.
You know, a catcher breaks a bone in their hand. It's probably the same kind of similar thing. It's usually 8 weeks. I mean, it's a long time. So anyway, I hope that he's back certainly at some point, but I think he's clearly going to be out for the first 4 weeks. And I don't think that Harbaugh would rush to the podium and talk about Ali being the fourth running back as it stands right now. I don't think he would do that unless they were already considering that likely would be not on the roster for the first 4 weeks.
Right. That makes sense. Because you need the roster spot anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's always saying, oh, we have so many options. You know, I don't know if we're keeping 9 offensive linemen or 10. They don't really have a lot of roster options. I mean, the roster space is so tight. I don't believe for a second it's not going to be 25, 25, and 3 for starters. So they're going to go equal offense and defense. Each coordinator right now has got to be screaming for the, you know, a full contingent on their side of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, and, what was the split last year? 26, 24?
No, they've never gone away. The one time ever they went away from the 25, 25, 3. So it like never happens. Even they talk about it all the time and it just never happens.
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of players on each side of the ball that we want to keep on the roster, and hoping they get to the practice squad is not the way to go, really. Like, I know last year someone that we thought might get swooped was Dayton Wade, and he didn't, and he was able to get retained to the practice squad. Who do you think is one of those players on the bubble that you would hate to see get cut?
I mean, I think the players who are most in danger are the size and shape players. So Okoye and Jones would be the two guys that I'd be most fearful of losing earliest. Doesn't necessarily mean right at the cutdown time, but it could be any time thereafter. They could get signed off the practice squad. So I think those guys are size and shape. You know, one of the ones that's not talked about is maybe Lichtenhahn. Now, the Ravens don't have room for him on the roster, but I think that he's a size and shape guy who has not been terrible in the preseason. And there are a lot of teams this time of year always looking for offensive tackle help. So Lichtenhahn might be a guy that gets taken by some other team. I wouldn't be surprised if a claim went in on him. So, but then if you're talking about Martin or Higgins, I think the Ravens might actually have time.
Because Higgins is the one that I really don't want
to hate to lose.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody passed on him through 7 rounds. He's a UDFA. That's how he got to be a UDFA. Same with Martin. So it's not like those guys are without warts. And if you take Higgins, you either got to have a real spot to get him in there quickly at inside linebacker, or you have to assimilate him to your own special teams units and live with his lack of speed.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I'm not sure the Ravens are willing to do that. And I'm not sure other teams in the league are willing to do that. So we'll see how the Higgins things plays out. I'm not convinced exactly how that's going to play out, but I think he is actually a fairly low risk of being claimed.
Fair. So, that's encouraging. Yeah. At least, well, the first phase of the cuts during the season on the practice squad, that's a different story.
Right. Braid, I think, also a fairly low chance of being caught just because he comes from a very big size and shape pool, not because he's a bad player. There may be a team out there that's really looking for that last special teams player that says, hey, Bo Braid could be the guy for us. Let's go yank him. I think there's probably a slightly higher risk, and I believe Hummel's in his fourth season and not his fifth, but I have to look at that real quick. Is he in year four or year five? All right, we just lost Frazier for a second. Actually, Jake Hummel is only in year four. So Frazier, for some reason, I have you on twice here. Are you back with us here? All right. Still here, Frazier?
Yep, still there.
Okay, I've got you on twice for some reason. Not sure why, but technical problem. We'll deal with this. Jake Hummel is technically a fourth-year player. I'm not 100% sure if he needs to go through waivers or not. Typically, you would, but it might have to do with the rookie contract. I'm thinking back to Sam Mustafa a couple of years ago.
Right, right.
He was a fourth-year player that they didn't have to bring through waivers. So I'm not sure what the exact situation is. But Jake Hummel is a reasonable cut at this point if you like your special teams enough and you think Higgins can help you more on defense or you think Martin can help you more on defense. They both played very well. I mean, I think either one of them would be a reasonable choice. Martin has a little more speed for special teams, and Higgins has probably played a little bit better defensively.
Yeah, I think Jake Hummel was someone that we really needed to solidify that Chris Board spot that until we got to camp and really know who we have on the roster. So he's reasonably someone that could be the first man out. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think he would get picked up immediately?
No, not necessarily, but the point I was making was that if you like Braid as a special teams player, you can just go sign him away. Right. He could really help your special teams unit if you're not lacking bigs. Hummel, because he's a big, has slightly more value to another team that could bring him on special teams, and he could get signed. He could really be angry at the Ravens for
signing him and then cutting him.
Yeah. And he gets $100,000 too. I mean, he could get another maybe $100,000 of guarantees by signing with another team. So it's just actually, I guess he'd get his whole salary guaranteed if he started the season, because I don't think he'd do anything less than that. Mm. But then if he's not picked up by anybody, including the Ravens on the practice squad, or if he is picked up by the Ravens on the practice squad, he's going to all of a sudden have his salary non-guaranteed for the year if he comes up starting in week two.
Oh, wow.
So okay. It's a big deal. It really is. A player like Hummel, he cares if he's cut or not.
Yeah. And it was unfortunate for him because he had the baby and then also the hand injury.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, okay, this guy can't catch a break. So just unfortunate for him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, some of the stuff will come up on Friday morning GM a little later.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
But let's talk about the players who the preseason action is the most important still. And I've got one that I think it's important for him not to play that I want to start off with, and that's Rasheen Ali. I think if he plays, gets 15 carries again, I think all of the talk at the podium is bullshit. Basically, they're showcasing him, trying to see if there's anybody out there who wants him. And they'll talk about it in whatever way they want to talk about. Yeah, boy, I was real excited. We thought Ali needed some more carries to stay fresh and to, you know, carry his workload over for a while, because who knows how many carries he's going to get for us the next 3 months. And then, you know, and then we also need to see him in the return game. I could just hear the, you know, the Brown stuff floating out. but in truth, if we see a lot of playing time from him, and if you see a lot of playing time from anybody you think might make the roster, particularly late in this preseason game, that guy is not going to be on the Ravens. He's not. Yeah.
They're looking for value from that guy for sure.
Yeah.
And I think Ali, like we said, if the talk is true, we won't see him. If it isn't, then we will. But I think someone I want, will we see Corey Billick?
I think we'll see him as the starter in this game. And the reason I think so is he is just a pure backup. He is first up. But I also think he kind of needs the action at center.
Okay.
So, and some of it is, you know, being good with the line calls, getting the ball snapped and whatnot. I mean, they have other guys at center. They have Holsky could get some playing time, and they could give some more to Samak, who I don't see there being a spot for on the team. So they've got other guys who could take the playing time. But I think Bullock actually, in his case, he needs it, and it's probably a good thing.
Okay, fair. Yeah, he's had flashes this preseason. I think he's looked developmental. He's looked at least like he can get to the spots and at least, you know, put his head in the right spot. But it's just consistency with him, I think.
Yeah, he's a big, powerful guy too. At 320, he outweighs Linderbaum by a fair amount. I think it's 320 to 305. So you've got a guy who you know, gives you a little bit more oomph in the run game. And you know, Linderbaum's tremendously quick, and that's valuable too. As a pass blocker, I think he probably is going to be a little bit better anchor. I did have the holding call this last week. You need to avoid those penalties. However, I mean, they skewer your results when they happen. But he's generally made his blocks and not allowed pressures. Not a lot of pressures in this last game anyway. All right. We can talk about the two tight ends, Zaire Mitchell-Payton and Scotty Washington, but I kind of think that the Ravens are going to, if they feel like they need a third tight end for a game, that they'll do it by practice squad elevation. And I don't really feel like either of those guys is been exciting enough as a blocker or a receiver for certain that they'd be lost if you put them on the practice squad. So I think those guys are both headed to the practice squad and even with likely hurt.
So going into the season, what's the probability we go into a game with two tight ends? Just Kohler and Andrews.
And they'll have Ricard, of course, too.
Yeah, of course.
So they won't be hamstrung in terms of their ability to run 12.
Right.
So I don't think that'll be a problem. Or to run, you know, 21 or even 22. I guess they wouldn't as easily. Basically, every formation you would normally run, except for the heaviest situations where you could still put in an offensive
eligible lineman. Yep.
Yeah. Then you still can run all that stuff. Even if you want to run, you know, the max power or whatever they do with QB power runs with Lamar occasionally. They're not really limited, honestly. Even if they have two tight ends, it may be too high a snap load, or it may not allow them to lean on fresh legs the way they otherwise could.
Yeah. Because I think if they go two tight ends, that could bode well for Kohler and for him to continue to develop. Because the more playing time he gets, I think the more better and more comfortable he's going to feel. I mean, year over year, we've seen his progression. I think he's ready to take maybe another step that we haven't seen from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree on that. Well, let me pick another guy. I'll take Carson Vinson as a guy who I really want to see more developmental reps for. Okay, so we do two layers of our work on the offense, Maureen and I do, when we're scoring the games. The first is we record notes for all the plays so that I can do the article that has every offense and every defensive player and some information on their playing time. On the defense, we tend to record a lot of individual plays made and how that worked. On the offense, we do more like a particular offensive line. It's more about what pressures did we note that they allowed. I'll say this. It is dangerous to work off notes and just go from that, because oftentimes you might miss somebody else who had a share of a pressure, or, you know, occasionally you'll just miss a pressure entirely in the notes. And you say, you know what? He was too close. That cone is impeded. I've got to call that a pressure now. But we did both on this last week for Vinson and Dellinger to look at their scoring and did pick up some new things from Vincent in particular, from what I saw initially. And that is, I think Vincent had a really good game. I mean, he had 64 snaps. He was out in level two looking for work. And this is one of the things I really love about the guys. He can really move.
Yeah.
And then he's also he's the anti-Fa'alele in terms of really wanting to finish people. He loves to put them on the ground. And I love to see that. And the use of length doing so, particularly in level two, is very impressive. His grade overall was a C because he gave up some pressures, but I can't even tell you how far ahead of the curve he is to get a C in his second NFL game, with getting 64 snaps of action. That is not immaterial. And I cannot rule out at this point the possibility that he would play at some point this year.
Yeah, and seeing him come out of the tunnel, he's freaking huge. I mean, standing that close to him, I was like, I cannot believe this guy is that big. But watching him, I think I like the way he finishes. He gets real nasty when he needs to. And then again, him getting to the second level is encouraging. I like the way, like, once he's able to get the game speed under wraps, he's going to be lethal and the cutoff blocks on some of these zone runs, or even when we get to the counter bashes, mm-hmm. we could potentially have him as well loop around. So a lot of different things we can do with Vetson as he continues to develop.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a sluggishness certainly in terms of the ability to pull, so that's good. But I also see a lot of the Ronnie Stanley get into level two and level three and keep looking for work. So Ronnie, earlier in his career, in particular, tremendous quickness for a left tackle. And I think Vincent has some of that right now. And we saw a return from it from Ronnie, by the way, last year. And in all fairness, I mean, he got some of that back, and it was exciting to see him out there in space making blocks. Vincent, he's probably got a little bit more to learn about not lunging as often in space. Mm-hmm. He's very, very effective against Dallas.
Yeah, and it's really good that he has someone like Ronnie really to have him under his wing and show him the ropes, really, because Ronnie's the guru. I mean, yeah. he really knows his stuff. And Vincent has a couple more intangibles that he doesn't have, so it's encouraging.
Yeah. All right, well, hopefully that development works faster. And, if it was 2026 right now, you'd sign me up for that. I'll take it if he's ready to play next year. It might still be 2027. But I cannot rule out, because I just really have not liked what I've seen from Noteboom, the possibility that Vincent might be leaned on at some point during 25. I would have said no way in hell before this last game against Dallas. And now I'm like, the window is a crack open right now.
Potentially. We'll see. Yeah. I'm excited to see Aeneas Peoples if he plays enough this game. I really do want to see him in a handful of pass rush opportunities, see if he can make some disruption. I want to see a splash play from him at least one time, so then we can feel good about him going into the regular season. And then also I want to see CJ Okoye. He's a very interesting player. He has the size, shape, like we've talked about. How much of a disadvantage do you think he's at, because he hasn't really played football that much?
A fair amount. And then there's some things on the field that he's just not very good at doing. Okay, start with this. He spent 2 years on the Chargers practice squad, and that was his first professional football. And there's little things like managing his effort from play to play that is difficult for him to do. And as a rotational defensive lineman, you got to be able to play more than two snaps in a row. And we've seen some conditioning issues during camp that lead me to believe that's not an automatic. So hopefully that is not something that shows up on a regular basis. Now, that said, he's enormous and he uses his size pretty well, particularly if there's an opposing offensive lineman in front of him who gets out a little over his feet. It's rep over. He'll just rip him down and ragdoll him into level two, like he did with the Colts center in that first game. You rarely get that much of a variance in play where you can see the top end is just so intriguing, and yet he's huffing and puffing after two plays from time to time.
Right.
He's an unusual player in that regard. It's a big commitment to change from Jenkins to him. Jenkins is now He's 36 years old, but he just had the two biggest snap seasons of his entire career the last 2 years for Las Vegas, 600-ish snaps both years.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, he's certifiably able to take a fairly significant snap load. If you go to Okoye as your backup center, you get a higher upside. You get him for 4 years. I love both of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't like the risk of being really shorthanded in terms of snaps because he can't handle it.
That's interesting. I didn't know that about his conditioning. So I'm glad you brought that up. Wow.
Let me bring up the next player then, since you got him. I we've talked about Higgins a fair amount. I don't think we need to go over him again, but I think Chandler Martin's played very well as well. And his play's definitely been overshadowed by Higgins, but he probably brings he brings more speed for sure.
Right.
But he is a good tackler. I'm because Higgins has done so much, it's easy to overcredit his instincts. And I'm not sure how that's going to look when a quarterback and a good one is actively trying to fool him in terms of the read. So far he's only played the second half against some terrible quarterbacks.
Yes. Joe Milton.
Yeah, Joe Milton, that's not even that bad, but you know, but it gets worse from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. Joe Milton, he's played, I guess he played a little bit of time against Daniel Jones right before he left the game. I'm trying to remember when Jones left and, Daniel Jones for the Colts.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was in second. Richardson was in first. Then Jones was in, and they brought in, what's the guy's name? Krieg or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know exactly when he came in. I can't remember, but
I think it was third quarter maybe.
Yeah. So if it was, maybe they didn't really overlap very much, but you know, if he's all of a sudden out there facing Joe Burrow and Joe Burrow knows how to manipulate an inside linebacker.
Yeah. Is he still going to have those instincts?
Yeah. Are they going to hold up? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's where we're kind of still in lieu with Trenton Simpson. Is he going to take that next step and not fall for the eye candy that these top quarterbacks can show you?
Yeah. I agree entirely. I think it is a really serious question. Trenton Simpson hasn't hardly played in the entire preseason, obviously. He's just played a couple series each game, and we haven't really gotten into him being in trouble in a passing situation yet that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
one thing that did pop out to me is when the Ravens had that safety on the first drive last week. Teddy Buchanan shot that first play so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trenton Simpson was still in cement blocks and Buchanan was halfway to making the play. I think that's where we have a problem with what's going on between the ears, because Buchanan didn't hesitate. As soon as he saw the offset by the guard, he shot it. And we need to see that from Trenton Simpson if he wants to play next to Roquan.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And by the way, Teddy Buchanan got a missed tackle assigned to him on that play. I like PFF missed tackles because I think they do a generally consistent job awarding them. But they're also very strict is the other thing relative to other places. But there's missed tackles and there's missed tackles. And this was a very good missed tackle. It bubbled the running back outside.
Yep.
So even though he missed it, it gave Keon Martin time to go in and finish that play. And that was a beautiful two-play sequence for Martin.
100%. He showed off. I mean, coming in with the tackle and then going off the edge with the corner blitz. I mean, it's
what do you want to see from Martin in terms of playing time this week?
I think I would like to see him at least play the first quarter and then see if he can continue to show that success and then leak into the second quarter and then put him under wraps, because we need to make sure we have all hands on deck going into the season.
They don't have a overflow of players that I think they can make that happen. I think they're going to need to get a lot of playing time from Keon Martin. Yeah. So they use Braid and Lowry, both of those positions, but you know, Braid and or Lowry might both be making the team, as might be Martin. I mean, in a sense, they're kind of competing for spots on the outside corners. They have MJ Devonshire who could play the entire game if it was required. And they also have Marquise Robinson, who led the team in snaps this last week, to play on the outside. Who's good. And you might, they probably want to play him, put him out there, but they might lose him. There's a chance that another team is going to say, you know what, this guy in Baltimore looks like he's got the chops to be our sixth cornerback or our fifth cornerback.
Yeah. So when you put it like that, then we were really handcuffed on what we could do with Martin. I think he probably does have to go close to the distance, if not maybe.
Yeah, so. Three quarters. They had Braden Lowry as the slot corners last time. It's going to be very unseemly if Braid has to finish the game at slot corner. It's going to be a complete signal to Bo as to what's going on. If they have Martin finish the game, I don't think right now that Martin's expecting to be. I mean, he's probably hoping, but I don't think he's expecting to be better than a top of practice squad player. But if they finish the game with Bo Braid, that's a signal that he's going to be cut.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll finish with Lowry. I think that I think they need to be more careful with him in terms of what's going on.
What about Tampa? You think he's not playing at all?
No, I think Tampa will see action. I think that he needs to, first of all, I mean, he had this great practice. I think he needs to take what he did in practice and bring it to the field during a preseason game and do a little more than. He's a sixth corner for the Ravens. I mean, that's the kind of guy who has to spend some time. So maybe to get a quarter and a half out of Tampa, maybe even a full half.
Maybe the same treatment I wanted to give Keanu Martin.
Yeah, could be. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not sure who plays slot corner behind Keon Martin. That's my problem. I don't know who they have. I mean, literally, you can move some non-slot corner into that position. Remember, a few years ago, they used a wide receiver white to play six snaps at slot corner during the preseason.
Wow!
So they could do something. They could do something really crazy like that. But I'm going to reach off their entire roster currently at corner. So they've got MJ Devonshire. Good, he's on this one. So Wiggins, Awuzie, Armour Davis, Hamilton, Kane, Jair Alexander, Malachi Starks will all be gone or never show up for this game.
Right.
Okay. So probably the second time. Then you have Bo Braid. He is a possibility to finish the game. You have Tampa, not a possibility to move to the slot. Marquise Robinson, outside corner, probably finishes the game. Ardarius Washington, PUP. Reuben Lowry, I wouldn't want him out there. He's your fourth safety. And he'll no doubt see some playing time in the first half, but I don't want him. I prefer
him. Yeah, no extended play at all. Yeah.
Bill Alcone on IR, Robert Longerbeam on IR, MJ Devonshire, he can be there and he can play the entire second half or even the entire game if you wanted him at outside corner. But that's where he is. Maybe Devonshire would be a guy who could move to the inside, and they just tell him do the best you can. But he's typically been an outside corner. Then you have Keon Martin. Then you have Keandre Jackson, Desmond Igbinosin, who are both safeties, and you have Marlon Humphrey, who's obviously not going to see the field. So. There aren't a lot of options in terms of who they get through this game with, particularly at cornerback, given how depleted they are. But Devonshire will see a lot of time.
Fair. Yeah, it's going to be tight. I mean, it feels like always that third preseason, we're working these guys to the nail. So we'll see.
Both teams, and particularly the Commanders, I think it's a good balance for the Ravens that the Commanders should really be wanting to get this game over with. There's no reason why they should be throwing the game excessively in the fourth quarter. That should be most first down plays should be runs. They shouldn't be passing the ball. So hopefully we'll see some action like that, which is clock draining and total play reducing and doesn't get the Ravens in trouble. A lot of people think that it doesn't matter if you get a player like Marquise Robinson or Keon Martin hurt. Well, Keon Martin, obviously he might be your top of practice squad player, but any player that gets hurt then goes to IR and you effectively have his full season salary deducted from the cap. So if you want to really make a GM mad, you know, have three or four injuries to, people who weren't going to make the team in the last preseason game and see how he reacts to that. Cause that will be one that it would not be pleasant. Let's put it
that way. At all. Yeah.
Cooper Rush. What do you need to see from him after the, I thought he played very well against the Cowboys.
Yeah. The tough things, some of the receivers just weren't making plays for him, like specifically LaJonte Wester. With that was a terrible, terrible concentration drop. That was really, really bad. I was disappointed in that.
You're talking about Ali, right?
No. Wester had a
on the left sideline.
Yeah. Well, my right sideline. Well, I don't know what it looked like on the TV.
Okay, so he had a terrible drop where the ball hit him in the hands. And in the chest, then out. That wasn't an interception. I thought
you No, not an interception. Not the interception.
No, terrible drop. I agree.
Yeah, that one, very disappointed in Wester on that. I mean, he's someone that we need. Not we don't need, but we would like for him to make plays on offense, and that's not good. So, but regardless, Rush did good last week. I want to see him continue to be on time, continuing to show that he can be in rhythm, keep the offense going downfield. Like the second drive of the game against Dallas, that was a long drive they had for 3 points. I would like to see him punch it in and really show that if we have a scare like we did yesterday with Lamar, he potentially can step in and maybe be serviceable and not F the game up, really. Yeah. And just hand the ball off to Derek and give it to our playmakers.
Yeah, I mean, he has to move around and he has to make some plays. He has to be efficient. It's not as simple as just hand the ball off kind of thing. I mean, obviously, what Lamar adds to the running game, you're minimizing by saying all Cooper Rush needs to do is hand the ball to Derrick Henry. Well, no, Lamar has an impact on how right. the defense is misdirected. All right, so I would lean towards less and not more playing time for Cooper Rush in this game. I don't think you really want him in there throwing a bunch of passes, and frankly, I don't think you really want him in there throwing a lot of passes with Carson Vincent at left tackle. It's a little bit too much risk of something really awful happening, and it wouldn't be good.
So we're looking for Larry to have a last chance U game right here. This might be his last opportunity with the Ravens to have.
It's a good way of putting it, a last chance U game. I think he does end up probably on the practice squad, but I don't think that the Ravens necessarily, between the time they set the roster and set their practice squad and opening day, won't try and find a different number three that gets released from somewhere else in the NFL.
Agreed.
You know, the Browns have all these quarterbacks, you know, maybe one of them, for example. Yeah,
I can definitely agree with that. I think Leary doesn't show anything. The one specific pass that stands out to me is, I think it was like the third quarter. He threw a ball to the corner. I forgot what receiver, but he just floated it. And it was like, dude, you got to put the ball out there for your guy. You can't just let I see what you're saying about the arm strength. I never seen it in person.
I'm looking through the defensive line because it's the last group I want to talk about. And I want to see Jason Jones get some significant playing time in this game because he's really fighting for potentially a roster spot. But, you know, the Ravens, if they play him a lot in this game, will also be showing him off to the rest of the league and basically saying, hey, come take one of our nose tackles.
Yeah.
But I want Jones and Okoye to both see significant times along with Ravenel. I always forget how to pronounce his name, Odelier, and Okoye. So that would give them four defensive linemen without having to go to Aeneas Peebles.
Yeah.
And if they go to Aeneas Peebles for a little bit of time, you know, they could do it with five and get through the game without touching any of the guys who are otherwise expected to play on the roster. I'd be happy with that. And you know, maybe this is a good thing that Okoye really needs to be stretched out a little more in terms of his playing time and just see what he can do.
No, he has to be able to manage his effort. Like you were saying, like you can't gas yourself out in two plays and expect to, you know, obviously you want to go all out. You want to give max effort, but sometimes you got to know when to pick your spots. I mean, it's third down, second and long. You should be going all out. Other than that, you need to really just be on not cruise control, but hold your ground and try not to do too much.
Outstanding discussion here, Frazier. I appreciate you doing this on short notice here because we had to get this, of course, out today. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. And other folks out there, I'm doing a concerns set of podcasts. We had some great ones tossed in. Hit me up if you'd like to do one. DMs are always open on Twitter. Like and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. Always appreciate growing that base and having some people driven to it by the algorithm. And if you want to tell a friend about the show, please do that as well. For Frazier Tafar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. And the next time we'll talk to you, we'll be talking about very meaningful football and previewing that Buffalo game for week one. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.